Welcome to the Queensland Economy Watch special coronavirus edition. I'm your host, Gene Tunney. Earlier today, the Prime Minister and the Treasurer announced the second coronavirus rescue package, amounting to $66 billion. We're also told that there will be a National Cabinet meeting tonight at which it is expected that there will be additional restrictions on the movements of Australians. So it's widely expected now that we'll hear something about schools, that there'll be a shutdown of schools except for the children of key workers. So in health, for example, so that's one thing that is expected. Joining me today to talk about this colossal rescue package is Dr. Marcus Smith, Chief Economist of CCIQ. Marcus, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gene. Good afternoon.
Marcus, how would you describe what we heard from the Prime Minister and the Treasurer today?
Absolutely unprecedented. You know, starting to look at the whole, you know, what they're talking about with the monetary as well as fiscal policy packages together, you know, approaching 10% of GDP. I mean, it's they've really dug in to try and cushion the economy from these effects that we know are certainly going to get worse, especially for businesses as time goes on. But I mean, having the focus on businesses and also that. Doubling the new start, so you've got the spending and all of that. Obviously, we're going to have trouble with the spending if everyone's going to be restricted on their movement. Given the businesses in particular some breathing room, you know, with respect to the loan package as well as the concession payments, so the cash repayments between you know a minimum of $20,000 to $100,000. Just to keep them, you know, to try and keep them, those that are going to be operating, give them some room to be able to keep their staff on. Those that aren't, obviously, will be able to, they've got to fast track the process for getting new start. And essentially that payment's been doubled.
So. Okay. It's absolutely stunning what they've announced. It's a lot more than I ever expected, particularly that temporary doubling of the New Start or Job Seekers Assistance or whatever they're calling it now. It's just absolutely incredible. So they see that there is a huge problem. Would you be able to give us an overview of how the economy is being impacted by coronavirus? And if you could focus on what's happening here in Queensland, that would be good. What's your understanding of what's going on out there?
Well, we've been in contact. The Chambers of Commerce have effectively they've all mobilised and come together, and we've been in contact with a lot of businesses, and CCIQ has been very busy this week with respect to talking to members, and we've had a whole new. Line of members come on, so we're actually not charging for businesses at the moment to join CCIQ. So we're hearing a lot of things on the ground, and things are getting really tough. So I have had news like on the sort of the whole macro scale, they're starting to let through some of our resources and that into China. Things have been starting to get a little bit better there, but you know, just the things that have been. You know, that's been experienced. They're really starting to hit the, you know, the businesses themselves, and you know, we've heard some quite bad stories about anecdotally about what's going on the ground.
Okay, now I know it's so difficult to forecast it, given all of the uncertainty. This is something that is, to use the word that everyone's using, unprecedented. What sort of impact on unemployment are we talking about? So unemployment in Queensland at the moment is around 6%. In Australia, it's in the low fives. what could unemployment get up to? Are we looking at something similar to the 91 recession where it got up to 10 to 11%, or could it be even worse?
Well, we have been, obviously people have been talking about that, and it is hard to forecast it going forward, which is, there is that concern, and it's a deep concern, obviously, with the government as well as the central bank moving in tandem now to try and prevent that unemployment from rising significantly. But, I mean, as we're going forward, when you first sort of started off, I think all the premiers are meeting with the federal government tonight, and I also can see probably a movement towards more restrictions and more closures. How that's going to impact on the economy going forward as well. I think, obviously, the new start, the way that they've, approached it to double the payment, because they can obviously see that, the momentum in our employment market is going to turn the other way, and we are going to see, more unemployment. I think we can be pretty sure, pretty certain that that's going to occur. Where it's sort of going to happen, I know businesses will be looking that if they've got casual staff they're probably obviously going to be the first impacted, I think it's certainly going to impact a lot of businesses quite significantly.
Absolutely. One of the things that stunned me about the assistance package that was announced was that potentially self-employed people like myself could access it. I could get access to this temporary coronavirus supplement and the job seekers payment. I found that extraordinary. I may not need it. I'm not in a position at the moment where I'd need to get access to it, but it's just so encouraging that that has been offered.
Yep.
So just absolutely extraordinary. As a former Treasury official, I'd be thinking, well, how are they going to be paying for this? And so the AOFM, mm-hmm. the Australian Office of Financial Management, is going to have to start massively increasing its borrowing program, and that will be indirectly supported by that quantitative easing measure that was announced by the RBA last week. So, I mean, all around, this is just something that is stunning. Do you think it's actually over the top? Could it be too much?
Well, it's certainly colossal. I was very surprised when I saw it. getting back to what you're talking about before, and I think that is for something different, because as you were talking about being able to potentially access this, because it's sole traders themselves have not really seen any benefits from the state governments and their particular packages. Mainly they're to do with payroll tax concerned with employing businesses. So I guess that is one way in which sole traders have got relief as opposed to, as not being an employing business. But, it's certainly significant. I couldn't see it coming to this magnitude. I thought it was going to be sort of a little bit more in dribs and drabs, but they've certainly thrown the kitchen sink at it.
Absolutely. So they are absolutely terrified about what this can do to both public health and to the economy. I was absolutely stunned by it, and that's coming from someone who was involved in the response to the financial crisis. I thought that was an absolutely colossal package, that Nation Building and Jobs Fund, but this is something else entirely, and very radical measures I never thought that they would be contemplating. Tell me your thoughts on this early access to superannuation, Marcus.
Yeah, up to $10,000. I think a lot of people may need access to those funds, and I know that they have been talking to APRA and the funds, and they don't think with access to that sort of that sort of amount within the system is going to have a very material effect on how they operate or the the massive amount of assets, the trillions that are sitting in superannuation. But, you know, I think it just is anything to be able to get people through. And I think that, you know, the Prime Minister has really geared this about, he is expecting people to, you know, employers have to lay their workers off, but he's trying to put the things in place so that they're actually stood down and not actually laid off. You know, I mean, approaching the super, I mean, it's always a controversial issue. What super annual is, whether we should be paying for it or whether, you know, the government should be forcibly removing, you know, potential consumer spending in the economy, and channeling away into funds that won't be accessed until, you know, the last years of your life. You know, I personally, my own view is that I'd like to see, you know, some sort of reforms there. Because there's just so much of the economy, you know, consumer confidence has been very low for a long time. And you know, some sort of amendment to those to allow consumers to, and low-income workers to be able to access that money and, you know, to be able to spend it all.
Sorry, Marcus, I might have to, do you have a landline I could call you on? We might have to have a brief break because I just got a couple more questions. It's just breaking up.
Okay. Yep. No worries at all. You there?
Yep, I'm here. That sounds good.
Can you hear me now?
I can, yep. Mate. Yeah, that was a bit of a shame. It was just breaking up a little. I think a lot of people are probably on the phone, on the mobiles, yeah, using the 4G.
Yeah.
Okay. Righto. So okay. Yeah. So we'll just get back into it. Thanks for joining me again, Marcus. We were just chatting about super before. We think that's generally a good idea, what they've done. Although, you know, Jim Chalmers has come out and he says this morning he wanted to see further information on it. They're, you know, they're concerned about you know, people dipping into their super. But look, these are extraordinary circumstances, aren't they?
They certainly are. So, you know, as I sort of mentioned, consumer confidence and you know, business sentiment and business confidence is very low at the moment. And, you know, maybe, you know, this is another opportunity, as well as these sort of cash payments and everything, to try and breathe some life back into the economy, into consumption.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. So I should ask, has CCIQ, at the time we're recording this, so this is just after 1:30 p.m., has CCIQ made any announcements? I know you're speaking today in a personal capacity. You're not providing an official statement from CCIQ yet, but CCIQ, it hasn't released anything yet, has it?
I when I last spoke to them, I've been in contact with my general manager for today regarding the packages and breaking down what it means. Nothing has come out yet officially on the site, I see, but we're certainly moving to get something up very shortly.
Okay, well, I'll put that in the show notes so people can get access to that. I mean, my own feeling is that based on what's announced, I mean, CCIQ must be pretty happy with this, given that there is a lot of assistance to business in it, possibly more than you'd expect. I mean, on a personal level, are you broadly happy with the composition of it, how it's split between households and businesses?
Yeah, definitely. You know, businesses sort of, when we went through the GFC, businesses really didn't see any of that. I mean, they saw a bit of the spending come through from the $40 billion. But you know, yeah, to get it into businesses quickly and personally, I think this is going to be a much bigger problem than the GFC myself. So, you know, I'm certainly supportive of them moving early and doing what they can to try and, you know, to get in and cushion it. There's been a lot of measures there. They're going to relax insolvency measures as well, and with respect to becoming insolvent, and give, you know, is it 6 months, isn't it, until you actually become insolvent. So there's been a whole raft of measures in there. that are targeted at business. And I think that that's a critical thing. It's we know it's going to be bad. It's already hitting, and you know it's going to be 6 months. It's not something that's going to be, you know, in a couple of weeks everything's going to go back to normal. It's going to have a lingering effect. And you know you'll know yourself as an economist with hysteresis. If we lose all of our businesses, or you know have a very large loss of small and medium sized businesses, they're not just going to pop back up. You know, it's going to take time to get the economy back over and ticking. So I'm sure that that's where it's aimed to prevent, you know, those losses where the economy could take a lot longer to you know, to get back to normal.
Okay, so you just reminded me of a term I haven't heard in a while, hysteresis. So that was something that was a term that was widely used in the 80s and 90s to describe the very slow reductions in unemployment, in the unemployment rate that occurred after the early 80s recession and then the early 90s recession. Mm. I recall John Howard once said that unemployment goes up in an elevator and comes down on an escalator. So it's describing that path, the persistence of unemployment, the fact that if you lose your job, there can be that loss of skills. You've lost recent labour market experience, and so that affects your job search prospects when times are good again. So that's a very, very important point. I've got two more questions, Marcus, and then I'll let you get back to things on a Sunday afternoon. So grateful for you chatting with me.
Not a problem. Anytime.
CCIQ has been advocating for additional action by the state government. So possibly Jackie Trad's been waiting to see what the federal government would do. What is CCIQ pushing the state government to do at the moment?
Well, we're looking in particular at that at the payroll tax. So as a lot of commentators have come out, it's you know, and it's the LNP's position as well. It, you know, with the respect to the deferral, you know, kicking the can down the road and expecting businesses to, you know, to then, you know, have to double up on their payments, you know, in 6 months' time. We'd like to see it completely frozen and not just deferred. You know, I think when we're going through the packages and looking, you know, New South Wales, state government, $1.6 billion, Victoria, $1.7 billion, Western Australia, $607 million. South Australia, $350 million. We're 527. So, you know, we're out of those states, you know, we're significantly, especially as a proportion of GDP, you know, it's a relatively small spend compared to the other state governments at the moment. So.
Okay, so just roughly, this Queensland government would probably need to throw in another $500 million or so of relief to be similar per capita spend to those larger states, although Victoria is obviously in per capita terms and absolute terms, it's higher than New South Wales. But is that the sort of magnitude we're talking about?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think so. So, you know, we have done a fair bit of modelling around, you know, the payroll tax relief from last week. And you know, when you're looking at those businesses that are sitting in there up to you know, up to 5 million, in, you know, between 1.3 and 5 million, there's about 9,750 odd businesses in there. And you know, when you're starting to throw, and you know, typically on payroll, well, if you're looking at the average wage, it's about 80,000. So you know, if you're assuming that, you know, that's the average, obviously, but if you know you come down to it's typically businesses that employ 20 or more that will be eligible for payroll tax. So, you know, you're looking at anywhere from, if all of those businesses were at, you know, employed 20 people, you know, you're looking at a couple of hundred thousand jobs there. Or you can, you know, take that all the way up. If you, you know, do it by 50, you've got, you know, you've got 400,000 jobs there. Or, you know, so you can take that up to... with estimates that I've looked at, it could be anywhere up to 580,000 jobs that are at stake for these businesses. So, that's why we're really concerned and want to see the relief.
Okay, so you're saying that 580,000 jobs are at risk if there isn't payroll tax relief or further payroll tax?
Well, definitely up to it.
Up to it, okay, okay. Mm. Yeah. I know these things are highly uncertain.
It's very hard to, because, you know, the measure it gives you, because if you look at the Queensland Treasury, last time they updated their small business reports, the you know, their figures were small business around about 44% of employment, and you know, and about 23% were sitting in medium sized businesses. So, you know, you can start to throw those on. You know, the 580, I think it came in from 23% of what have we got, two and a half million, sorry, employed. You know, so they're the sort of percentages when you could throw them around and come up with sort of estimates. But you know, as I said, with there's 9,700 businesses, they're all employing 20. You're already going to start at 200,000 jobs there. So.
Okay, lots of jobs at risk. There is no doubt about that. Okay, final question, Marcus. I know that you've spent a lot of time analysing Queensland's regional economies. So Queensland has a very diverse economy with the regions, some specialising in agriculture, some very tourism dependent, some very mining dependent.
Yep.
How is this impacting the different regions, particularly regions such as Cairns and the Gold Coast and Townsville? Are you getting any intelligence on how it's impacting those regions, or do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, well, certainly Cairns have been a trouble spot at the moment. They've been right in the firing line of it. You know, when we talked last time, I think when we were getting our certificates of origin information, and we had a chat about that, you know, all the fishermen up there and everything were having a really bad time. You know, the tourism numbers, I started to see those come through from Pete when he puts them up, from Conus Consultancy. You know, those numbers, the Chinese visitors have really dropped off the cliff, you know, over the last month. You know, so obviously the Gold Coast is going to be impacted as well, especially when start to close down, you know, further movements of people. You know, coming down the state from Cairns, so obviously Townsville I've seen some good, you know, some good reports out of there. So, that economy tended to be, you know, things are happening. You know, the stadium's there now, but unfortunately they may only get one game in for some time. You know, so they're looking at the revitalization of the CBD there. They're, you know, trying to do everything they can there. You know, I have heard reports that confidence was picking up there, and they, in the pulse survey, relatively, you know, compared to the other regions, when I break them down, they seem a little bit less pessimistic and if not even fairly neutral. Mackay as well is one of those sort of less pessimistic regions as well. You obviously had the mining there, which, you know, with the Adani going forward and all of, you know, the activity going forward there in the pipeline. You know, coming down further, now we start to get to, you know, to central Queensland and Wide Bay you know, these areas. They've been, yeah, I haven't heard reports sort of coming through there how the beef's been affected in particular, out of the central Queensland region just yet, only just what we see from the certificates of origin. And we did see, you know, there had been some impact there, but that'll start to become a little bit clearer in the next few weeks. Southwest Queensland, obviously we had a bit of rain there, so that obviously would have brought the spirits up, and hopefully, you know, they wasn't too late to get some crops in and things to pick up. But they were, Southwest Queensland in particular, very pessimistic through that last survey, and obviously that was before the rain. So.
Okay, righto. So I think that's a good summary of what's been happening in the regions, or how they people and businesses were feeling in those regions before all this news about coronavirus. I must say, I'm extremely concerned about places like Cairns and Gold Coast, which are highly tourism dependent, have lots of people employed in hospitality proportionately. Mm-hmm. This is going to be absolutely devastating to them. So
Well, the shops are closed now, aren't they? I mean, the restaurants and that, if you sort of have a look out and around, it's very quiet. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It is super quiet out there. And, you know, lots of people are working from home. So I should ask, are you actually working from home now, Marcus?
Yes, we are. Yes, we went home from Wednesday last week. So
very smart.
So we'll be, definitely. Yeah, we moved quite quickly on that. So,
Okay.
But the team did. So.
Good stuff. Mm. Righto, Marcus, any final words?
No, it's just going to be interesting. So, look forward to for us to have a chat in the future. And, we always like to keep in touch and about things that are going on. So I don't think this is going to be going away for a long time. So obviously, when we get more information in as well, I'll contact you and with regards to what we're seeing on the ground from our businesses as well, Gene, in time. So I'll let you know when we sort of have some more of that coming through, and we might have, some port data and that to look at as well. So.
Oh, that'd be fantastic, Marcus. Well, yes, this is going to be with us for a long time. The Prime Minister is talking about the bridge to the recovery, but he said that we might be on the bridge for 6 months or so.
Yep, certainly. And I don't think it's going to go away.
So within that period, we'll probably have another rescue package from the Commonwealth. I think the PM and the Treasurer have hinted that that is something they're contemplating, or that it's something that they wouldn't rule out. And we'll probably see something further from the state government. So we'll have to catch up when that is released. Marcus, it's been great. Thanks so much for your time and for your thoughts. And have a great day, and we'll catch up again soon.
You too. Always a pleasure. Talk next time.
Thanks, Marcus.
See you, Jen. Bye.